B'choros, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Hey. Additional irregularities that prevent a Kohen from doing the Avodah L'Charchila. Sfasav ha'elyona odefes ala tachtona. If his upper lip goes far over his lower lip, v'tachtona odefes ala elyona, or if the lower lip is far exceeding his upper lip. We're not talking here about the jaw bones themselves being totally out of whack. That already was a moment from the previous parak. Here we're talking about someone who just has a class 3 overbite or underbite. So it looks like, you know, his lip is kind of going over the other one, or the other lip is, you know, his upper lip kind of goes over his over lip like that. So that's kind of usual looking. He shouldn't do the avoda. Not allowed to do the avoda. He's asked to do the avoda. L'charchila. Harei zamom. That's considered to be a imperfection. Again, like the same as other mumin, he's eino shava bezera shel Aaron. He's not like the other kohanim, how he looks. V'shenitlo shinav. If he's missing teeth, pasul mepnei marisa ayin. Then he doesn't look good and shouldn't do the avoda. So now, first of all, just this is the third category. Remember, we had the primary category of mumas from the previous perek's list, and that his avoda is pasul even b'diavad. Then we have things he doesn't look like the other kohanim, and that issue is like also a doraisa issue. But b'diavad, his avolisa is valid b'diavad. Then we have a third category, which is, this is the other example in the perek, which says he's missing teeth. That's called mipnei maris ha'ayin. This is rabbinic in nature, meaning for sure his avodah is kasher b'diavad, but the rabbis say he shouldn't do it because of how he looks. Maris ha'ayin here, like we had before with the stubs and the eyelashes, doesn't mean the usual usage of the word maris ha'ayin. It means how it looks to the eye. People will look at him and say that guy is unsightly, he looks strange, and therefore he shouldn't do the avodah. What's his problem? His problem is he's missing teeth. Tosfos says he can't be missing one tooth. Everyone's missing a tooth. That's no big deal. But missing a bunch of teeth is a problem. How many teeth is not clear. There's a kasha we had in the previous perek that missing teeth already was a mum for an animal. And therefore, that should transfer to this perek as well, since the first line of this perek was what's no good for animals, no good for people. So one possible answer is that a person doesn't open his mouth so much like an animal, so you don't see inside the same way. Probably that wouldn't apply to the very front teeth, but the back teeth, I mean, I'm missing my four wisdom teeth, I'm sure no one noticed. So that's not a thing. So that's impossible. Teretz, worth noting that Rashi learns that the previous perek wasn't talking about missing teeth, he was talking about missing part of the gum that holds the teeth. So gums is one thing and teeth is a different thing according to Rashi. Further says the Mishnah, if the fellow is dadav shochvin kishel isha, he has like breast tissue such that, you know, he has essentially his breasts that rest on his chest like a woman's breasts. That's regular. He shouldn't do the avoda. Or kreso tzava, his stomach is distended. Here we don't mean a fat person per se. To be fat is actually not a mum. Some kohanim were fat. Some kohanim, the shita is that it's ideal to be fat to do certain avodas. The issue here is that something like his stomach has a protrusion coming out of it. It's not clear to me exactly what. Usually a distended stomach is indicative of like starvation. It doesn't mean that, I don't think. It probably means something is bulging out of his stomach, whether it's a tumor, whether it has, you know, polycystic kidneys, I don't know, things. You know, people can have organs that are too large, unfortunately, and they're not well. So then it has like a lump bulge coming out of his stomach. I think that's what it's talking about here. Taburo yotze. And now we have his navel, his belly button comes out. So what I would think this means, what I would have thought this means, is an umbilical hernia. That means, you know, that there's like a thing sticking out of where his belly button is. Basically, it's his intestines coming out there, and it looks unusual. You've probably seen it before. Tosi Yom Tov doesn't say that. Tosi Yom Tov says we're talking basically about a good old-fashioned Audi belly button, as opposed to an innie belly button. I find that surprising, but I did some very cursory research. It seems that indeed, like 90% of belly buttons are any belly button, so it's a little unusual to an Audi. So more than that, I can't say. Says the Mishnah further, Nichpe afilu achas yamim. If he's epileptic, that means he has a seizures every once in a while. Doesn't matter if he has seizures even if like once a year, let's say. Still, the person who has seizures and kind of, you know, falls down with some kind of fit, that person should not be doing the avoda anytime, even when he's perfectly fine. For the same kind of reasons, he's not like other people. Ruach katzris ba'alav. Now, this is hard to translate exactly. Literally, it's very difficult to translate. The Bartanura learns, we're talking about someone who suffers from bouts of severe depression, where essentially he has like, he's like unemotional and sort of, I guess, unmotivated, can't get out of bed, that kind of thing. Bartonur explains it based on Greek science of the four humors, these four like liquids that a person has, you know, there's blood, phlegm, yellow bile, and black bile. And the black bile is what he sources over here. The word, just worth noting, the word melancholy, if you know it, which means sort of like depressed, we'll call it, is from melas and kolia, which are, melas means black and kolia means bile or whatever. That's what the thought was here. So that's the Bartonur learns. Other Mephoshim do learn that we're talking about someone who is essentially suffering from schizophrenia, right? So detached from reality as opposed to just simply sad or anxious or depressed, etc. The Mishnah continues. Also, ha-me'ushkan. The word ayin shin chaf ashech means a testicle. Me'ushkan here is referring to the scrotum. That's the bag that holds the testicles. And we're talking about someone who has an extraordinarily large scrotum. Says Gemara, so large it reaches down to his knees. So that person is also considered to be unusual, unlike the other Kohanim, and shouldn't do the avodah l'charchila. May not do the avodah l'charchila. And uval gever, also a person who has an extraordinarily long penis. That means it reaches down also to his knee. That long is considered to be, again, also extraordinarily long and unusual, to the point that he is also not to the avodah. Just worth pointing out here that these, of course, are features that the public wouldn't see, right? You're not, if you're dressed up as a Kohen doing whatever you're wearing, there's not going to be evidence if you're wearing your Arba Begadim as a Kohen. But the point is that it is known. I mean, whatever, Kohen goes to the mikvah, this guy was born, however he's born. So these are known things, and therefore he's like known to not like the other people, just like the person, the Ruach Katsris, he's normal now, but people know that he has these psychological phases, as well as also the nichpa. People have these, he has these, you know, is epileptic once in a while, he has these seizures and so on. So the point is, he's known to be not like the other people, and therefore he shouldn't do it. Mishnah continues on now. We have the pasuk refers to the meroach ashech. Now I said ashech means testicles. Meroach, you'll see, according to many Tanaim here, is referring to like something to do with like wind or air. So we have actually a four machlokas what the meroach ashech refers to. All four of these unusual features will make a person not fit to be serving as a Kohen, because unlike other Kohanim, but the question is here, machlokas, what actually that particular case of the Mishnah is, a meroach ashech, which means the Torah says he can't do the word in the first place, as a balmum, says the Mishnah, ein lo beitzim, if he lacks testicles, ein lo ela beitz achas, where he has just one testicle. Now, the reason this can't be read exactly as it sounds, because we had that already back in the previous parakas, problems that apply to animals, and we said animal problems are also human problems. Therefore, the way to understand this is, it's someone who ein lo shtei beitzim, he doesn't have two testicles in two separate compartments within his scrotum, right? There's like one, has two separate, just that, two separate testicles and two separate pouches. Or, if he has even two pouches, but he only has ein lo ela beitz achas, but he has one testicle in one of those pouches, again, that's going to be no good and not able to serve as a Kohen to the avoda. Now, that's the first opinion. That's zehu meroach ashech, ha'amor b'torah, according to Tanakama. But Rabbi Yishmol Omer, that what is this meroach ha'shech referring to? He says it's kol shenimrechu ashkechav. So does he in a sense that the word meroach is referring to sort of like nimuach? It's melted, smushed, not melted, smushed, kind of like to like a liquid or whatever. So that the idea is that he's got like essentially smushed, liquidy testicles instead of normal structures. And Rabbi Kiva Omer, he says meruach ashech is referring to kol sheruach ba'ashkechav, anyone who has like sort of see wind in his testicles. I mean, this, he has these inflated air-filled testicles. That's the pasuk's reference. And Rabbi Chanina ben Adignas Omer, he has a different kind of understanding here, based on a different kind of drasha you don't see very often. Okay, so this drasha is an idea called Godun Mosifin Vidorshin, which kind of basically means you sort of based on how something is written, you take one letter from the next word and put it to the previous word. Highly uncommon. But anyways, that's how he understands it. So what would they say? Golden meant gorin, goreya, to deduct. Gorin umosifin. Take from one and add to the other. Vidorshin. I'm sorry. So he says that the word maroach hashach could be read sort of as marav chashuchim. So it's maro chashuch. His countenance, the way he looks, is dark. So this is a Kohen who was unusually dark in complexion, unlike the other Kohanim. So again, according to Rebbeinu and Antigonus, that is the prohibition of the Torah. At all events, everyone agrees that all these things are a problem. But the question just is what maroach hashach is referring to.